To open your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13. In our study of Jeremiah, you are reminded in chapter 13, there are five warnings given. And we looked at 1, 2, 3. I'm going to go back to the third one for a moment. And in chapter 13 and in verse 15. Now, each warning is to awaken them, which they aren't interested in being awake. Hear ye, that's a command, and give ear, cause your ear to hear, to perceive, to obey. Give ear, hear and heed. Be not proud, don't be proud, and pride to rise up high, to rise up from the ground, to be high-minded, proud, pride. Think of pride with a big I in the middle of it, P-R-I-D-E-D, pride, big I. And proud, the problem the devil and all of us have because of it, sin. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken, and thus pay attention. How so? Give glory, be given, that's a command. Give glory, worth, wealth, weight. God is an awesome God, and in all of his creation, he bears evidence in a small way of the greatness of his ability. And thus, we ought to give him glory. He makes an impression that he is worthy of honor, etc. So give glory, command unto the Lord, and then before, now remember, here's the movement, Nebuchadnezzar and all of that, and in the process, before he, God, makes to happen, darkness. So there they are, God is dealing with them by way of Jeremiah, and they are having opportunity to interact by way of Jeremiah with God by way of Jeremiah. And they're having to exercise. But that is not to be lasting very long. And therefore, before, verse 16, before he, God, caused darkness, and before your feet stumble, you yourself are going to stumble. In other words, you are going to try to operate your life with your understanding, the way you find things, how you find things, as you find things, you're going to try to operate your life, and that's what you're going to try to do. In verse 16, before your feet stumble, they're going to stumble all over the place. You're going to be stumbling all over in trying to work out where you're at, where you're headed, how things are going, how they're going to go. And thus, your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, because we're stumbling. In other words, if we have light and answers and understanding, and things are going seemingly well, then we don't have a lot of questions and things, and we have what we'd call light. We're comfortable. But in this case, as we proceed, as they proceed, they're warned that darkness is going to be darker. And in the darkness, they're going to have a terrible problem trying to solve everything without in the darkness, without any light. And in the process, verse 16, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross or deep darkness. Make it deep darkness. So the darkness is going to get darker and darker and darker and going to get more difficult. Now, having said that and keeping, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness, deep darkness. Now, gloom, G-L-O-O-M, gloom, gloom, gloomy, very gloomy. Now, in the process of that, here's Jeremiah doing his job, warning them, and the Babylonian captivity is in the process. Nebuchadnezzar's coming down, and you're going to have in 605, he's going to come, and then he's going to come again in 597, and then they aren't paying attention. He's there. They have to do a lot of things. Nebuchadnezzar controls and does. But then in 586, they have so rebelled, Nebuchadnezzar levels the city, the temple, and all of it. So they are warned, it gets dark, the kings get worse. So we're going from Josiah to Zechariah, going down as it were, and going to get darker and darker and worser. And here's the people hanging in there doing what they do. Now, in the process of that, so we want to consider, we want to look at, rightly I hope, this darkness. And we're looking for some out. Here we are in our own country, in our global situation, and with all that's going on, and if you were looking for some kind of what country almost would you want to go in, anywhere, South America, or Africa, or Europe, or Asia, where you want to go, Australia, and where do you want to go? Where everything's being influenced and infected, everything. So now, where do we go to have this security, safety and security? And we're looking for that. So here's our world, and they have a hope that somehow, I think that's normal for humans, to have some light at the end of the tunnel. Some light as we travel, you're looking for some better days, nicer times, things be a little easier, cheaper, different. And our world is looking for that. It doesn't have it, and it's losing it. And it's getting darker, and then darker, and then darker, just like Israel. Israel told, but each time, Nebuchadnezzar, all the way down the line, to where they reject Christ, crucify him, and there they are over there now, in darkness, trying to figure it all out. And the whole world, as far as they know, the whole world, and it is true, the allies that they did have would be America, and America is down the tubes, basically, for being an ally. So therefore, as all of it disappears and changes, Israel's all alone, and things have not got better. So if you had moved to Jerusalem as a Jew, after the Second World War, and moved down there in May 1948, and established and did all of that, and you're hoping to get better, and you went through all the turmoil to become a country, a state government, accepted government, and you did all of that, and then you, but you know what? If you live through all of that, and then you look at it today, it isn't very good. It isn't very good. Wow. We had the founding of our country, which is a marvelous thing, and we had all of the wars and Civil War and Revolutionary War and all of that. We came along and did, and the wonderful 50s and all of through there, and then the 60s downhill. So it hasn't got dark, it hasn't got lighter. So now, having said that little bit, our exercise. Over, if you would please, let's get a handle on it inch by inch, a little bit, and hope it'll be of help, because things are getting darker. And people normally want lighter. Now, what is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. True? Let's say it another way. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. Darkness is the absence of God, the absence of light. So now here we sit, and looking at the, in the presence of God, looking, and God, here we are. Now, if you can just imagine, so you'll have it as we exercise, if you can just imagine in your mind as much as you would like and wish, think of if we took away now, we could magically go and take away your Bible and the knowledge that you have of God, and be like your neighbors probably, and people you go to school with and work with that have no understanding of God personally. Now, how are they faring in life? How are they doing? And you have to imagine now, because it's hard once you get saved. It's hard to understand that, because we forget. Because we have that inner God's movement that just does the extra, and we don't even understand it. And we just have it. And we should have it. But, if you didn't have that, where are they going? Think of the people in government. Think of anyone you want to think about. How do they handle life? Coming, going, buying, selling, our country, the news, and everything else. Wow. Without God. Without light. That's darkness. Who have an existence without God. Without light. They have an existence. And you don't have anything. So where are your answers? They aren't in religion. Mary Baker, you line them all up. Mohammed and Mary Baker Eddy, and you line them all up. Joseph Smith, and line them all up. And line them down. And what have you got? We've got nothing. If we were religious, I'd try to think about being religious like people are. And what are we? What have we got? We got nothing. We just got a whole lot of thoughts and books and some hero or some figure we're going to go by or some book we're going to go by and hope and find some kind of something that puts this together. But it never does. It never does. Never. And Islam is hoping what? Well, to conquer the world and bring about the jihad, the wonderful government of Islam to the world. That's the super answer to the world. What's they gonna do? Are they doing it? Or they're trying to do it. And it's all frustrating. Now, so, exercise. Over to Jeremiah, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, remember Isaiah is ministering to Assyria, to the 10 tribes in the north, and Isaiah continues after the Assyrian captivity. And then he points to Babylon 100 years later. Now, looking down the road. Now, here's Isaiah, and God, here, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. An ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. In other words, the more I wait, the worse it gets. The whole head is sick, verse 5. The whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, the whole body is in terrible shape, and there's not one thing being done to heal it. Now, so that's the background. Now, that's the judgment on the 10 tribes and ultimately Judah. Now, what would you do if you were Israel and that verdict had been placed upon you? And God says you are in terrible shape and you are in great trouble. So what are we going to do? Well, we have to do something. What is the age-old plan? And they certainly did it and knew it. Over to Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 5 on your way, and reminding you and myself of the sober, wonderful explanation that God helps us with. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They'll put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." If you turn it all upside down, and we're going to call darkness light, and we're going to call light darkness. Once we do that, can we live in darkness? Why can we live in darkness so comfortably? Because we call it what? Light. And why are we able to live so comfortably? Because light, we're going to call darkness evil, the opposite of good. So we're going to push it away, and we're going to stay in darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They love it. They love it, understandably. How am I going to live with it? Well, then I'm going to go and rewrite it, redo it, as we just read, evil, good, good, evil, darkness for light, and light for darkness. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. Now, how are you going to help those people that are doing this? And Isaiah chapter 6, and picking up, please, remember God said, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Now, in chapter 6, verse 9, the sending. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed." What did we just read in Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 6, verse 15? Hear, it's a command. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear that. Hear something else, but not that. "Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." They aren't interested. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to keep warning them, and they're going to keep getting darker and darker and darker. It's not going to get any lighter. And thus, and the result, verse 11, "Then said I," Isaiah said, "Lord, how long is this going to condition exist?" And he said, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." It's all going to go. How long? Here's Isaiah, 40 years of ministry, and they want to know, is there any good light in the tunnel? No. There's no light in the tunnel. It's all dark. and darker and darker. That's the message. Darker. We did it on Sunday. I didn't mean to end that way, but it came up all right. We said, was it Resurrection Easter? And we said, rats. The rats. The only way you're going to get rid of the rats in your life and the rats around you is go higher. And that was the way we ended that. So your Easter message was about rats. Rats. So that would have... not many people get that message. Now, so here, God, is it going to get better? No, it's going to get darker and darker and darker. So when you come over to... on the way, why not? We'll take us... why not turn your Bible? Malachi. Last book in your Old Testament. Malachi in chapter 2. And picking up, if I can, chapter 2. And in verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, you are saying, every one that doeth evil is what? Is good. Jeremiah, Isaiah 5:20, what are you going to do? Evil, good, good, evil. What are you saying? You guys are practicing the same stupid movement of thought, and you keep on practicing it all the way to Malachi. You're still thinking it. Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. And where is the God of judgment? In other words, God is delighted with mixing it, calling darkness light, light darkness, evil good, good evil. Mix it all up, and it's fine with God. And by the way, God doesn't do anything about it. He lets the darkness get darker and darker and darker. Gross darkness. Gross, deep darkness. With no light. Now, if you went over to Matthew chapter 13 in your Bible, and recalling, Matthew chapter 13, and picking up, if I can, in verse 13. Remember, now he's going to quote Isaiah three times, and the Acts, and here it is in Matthew. The Lord uses it. Paul uses it. It's the same. When does things change, everybody? It's dark and dark and darker. And you keep saying it. What was said to Isaiah? Until it's all nothing, seemingly. Verse 13. Wherefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, in hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For the people's heart, the reason, the heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing. I should just read in Jeremiah 13, verse 15, and it's your ear. Hear, I'm telling you. Listen, and they aren't listening. Verse 15, and the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. They don't want to know. The disciples did. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Well, though the disciples were willing to go through and work through it, but the rest of the people weren't, and they rejected the light. It just rejected it all the way. You just had nothing to do with it. Now, so here's it. Nothing's changed. So now we're going to go into the tribulation, and when we go into the tribulation, God is going to use the 7-year tribulation to awaken Israel from a state of death and darkness to light. He's going to use it. Now, how is he going to do it? In Jeremiah, we read 13, 16, 15, 16. It's going to get dark and dark and darker, and you guys are going to go into more and more darkness. you're going to go to the Babylonian captivity, and then you're going to try to have a temple for a little bit in Ezra and Nehemiah, and then Malachi, not very long, and we're going downhill all the way to the birth of John the Baptist, the crucifixion of Christ. Oh, you guys aren't going to go very far. You aren't going to do very well. So here's the tribulation for Israel to get saved. Now, God, the tribulation is a time of wrath. This is a time of grace, time of wrath. Now, another thing, just to lock it on, over to Revelation 16. And the tribulation is characterized by wrath, God's wrath, because what? He's going to let evil, darkness reign, because that's what they want to call it. They want to mix it all up. That's what we're doing today. If you tell them the Bible thing, they know that's not true, but tell them some other stupid thing, and it is true. It isn't true, but it doesn't need to be true, because nothing's true anymore. There is no truth anymore. Only what is true is true to you. It isn't true anywhere else. It doesn't need to be. That's such a dumb thing. It's only true for you. And what's true for you is true enough. Oh, well. Humans. Chapter 16, Revelation. May I pick up, please? In verse 9. And the men were scorched with great heat, blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented, N-O-T, not to give him glory. What did you read in Jeremiah 13, 16? Give him glory, a command, but they are going to give. Is anything changed? We're coming into the tribulation. Give him glory. No, we aren't going to give him glory. Even though what? It's dark. How dark? Verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seas of the beast, the Antichrist, and his kingdom, the kingdom of the Antichrist, for 7 years, full of darkness. Full of darkness. Is it a pleasant darkness? No. They gnawed their tongues for pain and problem and trouble, but they wouldn't repent. No matter how bad, no matter how many deaths, no matter how terrible, they aren't going to change. That's the whole point. Wow. Now, having said that, God, you said, Jeremiah, darker and darker, gross darkness, it's not going to get any better, not at all. So now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to Psalm 23 for a moment, and we'll do it a little differently. There's all kinds of ways to go here, so we'll have to pick one of them. Psalm 23. And you will notice, please, Psalm 23. This is the Lord David is going to give. He's giving you the 23rd Psalm. And in the process, David is going to make wonderful statements about his relationship to God and God's relationship to him. Now, David, you've had a tough road all the way down in everything for different reasons. And God, you have blessed David in spite of all of that. And thus, we come to the wonderful statement in verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So I'm not going to call evil good and good evil. I understand what evil is. Evil is the absence of good. It's the absence of God. Darkness is the absence of light, which is the absence of God. So now, so here we are. Yea, though I walk, even though I am walking, I am prepared. I am understand. I'm in it. I'm in the process of exercising my condition, my situation, the world in which I live. I am walking right now. I'm walking through in the valley of the shadow of death, deep shade, pitch darkness, like in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 16. Wow. Lost no light, shade, gets pitch, deep, death shade. When you die, we death shade. But that means there is no more life. They're dead. A person is dead. There is no life. Death shade. Deep darkness. Now, having said that, and though he leadeth me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, God, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, all right, this is the first part. I walk through the valley of the shadow, the deep, deep shadow of death. I walk through it. And in the process, is there, David, is there light at the end of the tunnel? No. Is there light anywhere? No, not in the journey. No, the journey on earth is dark. That means we have to trust the invisible God, and we walk not by sight, but by what? By faith. By faith. You don't walk by sight. So everything is missing. Lights, sun, but dark. We don't have the answers aren't sitting all over the place that we can put a handle on them and come to grips with them in a way that we can do it without God. You can't do it without God. You got to do it by faith. And darkness is all the way to the end. All the way, if you don't understand that, just think of death itself. If you were going to die, and now as a believer, we are in the light, so we don't have that problem. But if I wasn't saved, you weren't saved, what do you have to look forward to? You have an awesome unknown, don't you? A terrible unknown. Your religion, they're going to say whatever, you did whatever, but boy, you got nothing. And you can be hard, it's going to be annihilation, nothing. But in your gut, you know that isn't true. That's for a lost person. They know it. That's very hard. Now, having said that little bit, over with me, if you would. Here's David. So we're going to go and take a trip over to the fellow before David, which is Job. Over to Job chapter 12. Job in chapter 12. Now remember Job is going through an awesome exercise before God, and God has allowed and chosen it for Job to go through and allow the devil to exercise all that he did. So in Job, now just picking up chapter 12, in the process, if you're trying to find out the answers, remember in verse 2, no doubt, but you are the people and the wisdom are with you, but I have understanding as well as you. In other words, Job and his friends were all trying to get a handle on everything. Now, Job, what are you going to say? Well, I'm going to slide down, if I can, to verse 7. Now, Job looks out there and says, we ought to learn something, being in the middle of time, but ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls, the birds of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Do you not understand the whole creation is awesomely telling you about a great God? So we don't need to be stupid about them, and we don't need to be in the dark. We need to be in the light. Verse 10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? So there's no one anywhere that's breathing on planet Earth that God isn't responsible for. No one. God gives us the, creates us. And God, our birth, God covers our death, and in between, he knows all about it. Wow. But if we leave him out, then we're in darkness, and we're trying to go through the dirt journey, and there is no light as we get older, and the calendar and time, it just keeps happening. We aren't just, nothing stops. Everything just keeps going and changing, especially in the day in which we live. Now, in chapter 12 and in verse 6 or 10. Now, verse 22. Chapter 12, verse 22. He, God, he discovereth deep things out of the darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Who can ever tell? Of all, God, you know everything. I do. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straitens them again. He makes them big and makes them small. He takes away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causes them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. That sounds like Jeremiah and chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, of drunkenness and darkness. Two things that the world gets hooked on to try to get an understanding of the perplexities and the inequalities and the problems of being alive apart from God. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to chapter 23. And let me do 24 first. 24, Job 24, verse 1. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? There's nothing hidden from God. And God is doing what he's doing, and the people that ought to know, they ought to understand that God is involved. You got to be looking to God, and if you don't look to God, how are you going to understand the days? How are you going to understand the time of where we live? The hours, the weeks, months, how are we going to understand it, God? In the dark. In the dark, how are we going to understand it? Wow. So now, chapter 24, and if I can, in verse 13. They are those, here they are, they aren't going to understand. They are those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer riseth with the light, killing the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime to rob. They know not the light, and the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are not in the terrors of the shadow of death. He is swift as the waters, their portion is cursed in the earth. He buildeth, he beholdeth not the way of the vineyards. In other words, you guys love darkness rather than light. And you are able to excuse what you do, whether it's daylight or light. You're able to excuse yourself because you're calling it darkness, you call light, and light you call darkness to fit your own wishes and whims. And that's what you do. And that's what they're doing. Now, having said that, now that's his, the world. Here's Job's world that he lives in. Wow. Way back with Abraham. Here's Job's world. And here's Job. Here's our world right now. Now, Job, I want to get my lesson from you. Because I'm looking at a world that's dark and getting darker and darker and darker. And there's no light at the end of the tunnel. We'd like to see some light for work, home, retirement, life. It's dark and darker. Now, so God, Job, you help Job, help us now as you help Job. Job chapter 23, verse 1. And then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." In other words, God, I wish you would, here's Job struggling, and here's his friends talking to him, and Job's trying to get a handle on everything, and in the argument back and forth, the discussion, he looks and said, God, the invisible infinite God, he's in his presence, but God isn't saying anything that would help Job to help him understand, and he wants to understand. So now, God, Job, what did you learn among many things? Job chapter 23, picking up if I can, in verse 8. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. God, I just need help me in the dark. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, put me to the proof, I shall come forth as gold." So God, I got to go through this. Israel, you got to go through it. Verse 11, "My foot hath he held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined." In other words, I'm trying to honor God and look to God. I try to read and hang in there, but I'm in the dark and looking for things. But you got to walk by faith, Job. And Job, he's going to get it. He's going to get it. Verse 12, "Neither have I gone back from this commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I don't want to be without your word. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, that he doeth." How do I tell God? How do I run God? How do I control God? God, I can't. I'm not supposed to. You're supposed to be in charge, God, and I know that. I can't do a thing about anything. That's right. Verse 14. "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me," "and many such things are with him." Many. He's, what are you doing? And there's many more. Now, Job, here's all the world doing what it's doing in the dark. And God, you're working with Job. What are you trying to do? To help him understand that in the valley of the shadow of death, in the valley of deep darkness, you want to discover light. You want to learn to walk in the light as he is in the light. You have to learn that. You'll have to learn it in the dark, so you trust the light. Otherwise, you're in the dark. Now, thus, wonderful, verse 14, "He performeth the thing that is appointed for his for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore, am I troubled at his presence? Yep, you bet. When I consider, I'm afraid of him. God, I don't know what's next. I got everything from head to toe, plague and everything, and family, friends, the whole thing is a wow. What's next, God? Verse 14, 16. God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Uh-huh. Because I was not cut off from before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. God didn't protect me from the darkness and more darkness. God didn't deliver me and save me from going through this. And thus, God, where's the light? God said, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, thou art with me. And before that, you leadeth me in the paths of what? Righteousness for my name's sake. So how am I ever going to get down that dark corridor? By looking to God. His word is a lamp under my feet, and I'm going to go inch by inch, trusting God. He isn't going to give me light 5 years ahead. He's going to give me light for 1 foot at a time. Down the road, in darkness, and I'll discover light. Where am I going to discover light? I'm going to discover God. God, you are something else, and I'm going to look to you. And as I learn to look to you, all the darkness isn't so dark. And all the darkness in the light of your person is very clear. There's nothing that is not being covered. Like we read in Job. There's nothing not being covered. The world thinks that they don't understand. God, you are on top of everything. Wow. So well, I know that as I walk in the light. I understand that. I don't have all of it. It's in the dark. But God, I'm not in the dark. I'm in the light. I'm with you. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And you would. Remember, it's all about you can't escape God's omnipresence, always present. Verse 7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence, there's nowhere to go. Sliding down. Verse 10. Even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me in the depths of the sea. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. There is no light or darkness as we know it to you, but at all, God. Therefore, God, in the light of my being fearfully and wonderfully made, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, am I still with thee? What did we just read in Job? We just read what? Well, he's appointed what he's doing for me, what he's doing to me, and all that he's going to do. He has many other things. And I haven't even finished the journey. His thoughts to me, about me, are more than the sand of the sea. Therefore, close. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See the word thoughts? You go back up to verse 17. How precious are thy thoughts? So now I'm going to go down to my thoughts about God's thoughts. And since God's thoughts are clear and everything, he knows what he's doing as he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his great namesake. Therefore, try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I'm going to look to you, and your thoughts to me are more than can be numbered. And God, you've appointed them, and the world is in darkness and loves darkness. That's going to get darker and darker. Now, how are you going to help anybody? Help yourself. You need to learn how to walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, what? Cleanses us from all sin. What do you know just before that verse? Verse 7, verse 5. In God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So you can't walk with God and be in the dark. That's what the Lord said. I'm here for light. If you reject me, you have no light. I am the light of the world. I tried to tell you, and you had it. So what we're trying to figure out for the kids, for family, for everything, for job, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to help him? Well, we're just going to keep going. No, I suggest you let God get an extra hold of us so that we are ever increasing in our consciousness of God. So in all, and they don't want to avoid the news, and you don't want to make believe it isn't there. Don't avoid reality. Live in it. Look to God. And in the middle of it all, you're always going to be able to look at the most terrible things that happen. And you're going to see them in the light of God's providential working. And the people around you are going to know what? That you're going to give a reason, 1 Peter 3:15. You're going to give a reason for the what? For the hope that is within you. That's what you're going to do. And they're going to know it. Because we aren't looking to solve it. We aren't sitting there to solve this and solve that and find the bad guys. And we don't know whether that's any good. That's darkness figuring out darkness. We don't have to do that. We have a great God in the light. And so, God, we're looking to you as you outwork it. And we're using our good God-given common sense and help us in all the other things. I hope that helps you a little bit. Darkness and darker. And wonderfulness. So you may have a particular request. Remember our country, remember the world, remember Israel.